I'm pretty sure we are on and live, and there we go. This is Theologicus. This is the streaming channel for my blog of the last 9 years. It was a writing blog. That's my little alarm telling me that it's time to start the stream. My name is Joseph Louthan. I am the author and the host of that blog. It's a writing blog that all I write about is God and have been doing so for the last 9 years. And this is a humble attempt to bring this to a video and audio and share this with the masses. Now, I am right at this moment streaming to three services, originally to Twitch, and I figured out how to stream live to YouTube and just keep the video up there. And then after a little about some prayer and then like thinking about like streaming to Facebook, and I'm like, I don't know about that. I have a lot of hesitancy with doing anything with Facebook, right? Other than connect with like relatives and loved ones and friends. I like that portion of it, but like everything else is just like, eh, I'm not going to mess with it. But then like when I was thinking about this and praying about this, my wife was like, have you thought about live streaming to Facebook? I'm like, ugh. So I got it all set up, and now at this moment, I'm streaming live to all three services. So what does that mean? I don't know what that means. This is live. I am in my lovely bedroom, and we're going to get things started. I've been doing this. If you're just now joining us, especially on Facebook, hey, guys, welcome. This is a live stream. I've been about this for since the beginning of April, okay? And where this actually started was actually, beyond the writing about 9 years ago, at the beginning of this year, I felt a prompt. I don't, you know, God, whatever, just antsy, I don't know. Was thinking about doing a Bible study, a recording of Bible study. I was like, okay, well, I want to do a Bible study. Let's do Romans. Why not? Let's start off with, like, let's just get the foundation over. But to me, a weekly basis is like, we are to engage in the Bible every single day. That's like, it would be my good intentions if it, let me, how do I put this without sounding too legalistic? It would behoove us to be in the Word every single day, okay? And it depends on like what you feel, what the Word of God is, what the Bible is. If it is, if you feel that all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, then it would make sense to stay engaged in that, right? If it's just another good book, or it's a pretty good book, or it's filled with good myths and stuff like that, then yeah, reading is kind of optional. It's just like any other piece of literature. So where I fall in that is I actually believe that all Scripture is breathed out by God. It's actually written by God, penned by authors for all 66 books of the Old and New Testament. And so I started the podcast, and I'm recording the podcast. I'm like 8 episodes in, and something about the post-production of it, I just hated it. I hated it. I don't know why. I just did not like it. And I kind of fizzled. But I kept writing the Bible studies, right? I'm all the way up to Romans 12, and we're like 2 months, like 2 months worth daily Bible studies in Romans. And I was going to keep the series going after Romans comes whatever next. And something kept drawing me to live streaming, and I had no experience, never done it before, didn't know how to do it. Fortunately, my son, Yusuf, was pretty familiar with that. He's active gamer streaming on Twitch. And so that's where I got introduced to. It's like, okay, how do you do this? What I love about streaming and in this way and streaming videos and recording those videos and then putting them up on YouTube, taking the audio and making it into a podcast, is that what you see on the screen, what I see on the screen is what you see on the screen. So I'm like, well, I can just bring up my notes, and these notes are always, these show notes are always available. You can go to theologic.us. Theologicus is just a Latin term for theology. It's nothing fancy about it. So it's theologic.us, okay? So you go there, you can read exactly what I'm reading off the screen. And how do we do this? Like, how did it go from like Romans to like 5 days a week, right? And if you caught the stream at the very beginning, I have like kind of a warm-up screen where you can kind of see the kind of schedule. Well, there's a Monday through Friday, a weekday schedule every evening, and it's Romans and it's doctrine on Tuesdays. It's gospel meditations and the pastoral epistles on Wednesday. It's Bible study in Genesis on Thursday, and it's home devotions in the Gospel of Mark on Friday. So how did that go from like the simple Bible study to all this? Well, I'm going to take you to my home site here, and I promise you we're going to get to Tuesdays, Doctrine, the Lord's Prayer. So I actually, like I said, been on this blog. This is my personal blog, and I've just been writing like a madman. I'll spare you the details. Long story short, over the last 13 months, I have increased my writing up until about 2 million words in the last year. That's supernatural. That's not of me. I graduated high school with a 1.75 GPA. So you tell me what's going on. I don't know. And is it going to be good grammar? No. Is it going to be good writing? No. But this is about God. This is my best attempts to like show worship and honor and reverence to the God who saved me, the God who loved me from all eternity past and will never let me go. And I have a few series here, and so I was like, well, I can just take these series. I wrote Bible study in Romans, and I'm writing Bible study in Genesis, but everything else I can bring to a video, teach it, walk through it, kind of like, also, it's really good to just kind of see all the mistakes that I made or like where I was unclear and just take, you know, make an attempt to make it clear, so. Anyway, I hope you enjoy this. If you're on Facebook, I don't know how to engage with you just yet while we're doing this, but if you have any questions, just leave comments down below. If you're on Twitch or YouTube, I don't know how to engage with that just yet, but if you leave a chat or a question, I'll answer and I'll address it. I'll address it tomorrow. So, but yeah, that's it. So, welcome. Before we get started, I always like to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for my friends. God, I pray and hope that the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, crucified on the cross, that would leave my lips and will fall on our ears. Lord, give us new hearts and new desires and draw us back to you. And we love you so much. In your Son's name I pray. Amen. Okay, so I won't go over the daily series because we're in the second week of this schedule. I am rocking and rolling with it. I really love it. It's a really good rhythm, and I'm going to keep on keeping on, okay? So we have a prayer through. Is that it? Yes. Okay, so last week we started two new series. On Tuesday, we started the Lord's Prayer, just an introduction. So if you like really like this series, just go to YouTube. You can go to the podcast. Just look up Theologicus or look up my name, Joseph Louthan, and you should be able to find that podcast, and you're not going to be that far behind. In fact, none of the series is like that old, so you're just only a few episodes behind on every series. And then we're in the second week of this doctrine series. So doctrine is not a scary term. Some people who maybe grew up in church are kind of opposed like to big, like the words theology or doctrine. These are not scary. Theology, all it is just a study of the nature of God. Pretty simple, right? If you speak about God, talk about God, don't believe in God, whatever the case may be, that's theology, okay? Doctrine is just what the Word of God teaches. That's all. We open up the Word. This is the Word teach. This is what the Word of God, this is what the Bible proclaims. This is what it teaches, okay? And so we discern that. We walk through that. We kind of scratch our heads at it sometimes. And sometimes it's like the Bible will say something once and we don't do anything with it because it's just a one-time thing. That's not, you don't make doctrine out of that. But when the Bible repeats itself over and over again, I think that's when we can at least say, hey, you know what? We should be paying attention to this. Now, all that said, my first doctrine series is going to be on the Lord's Prayer. And so you're looking at the screen and you're going to like Ezekiel 11. What does that have to do with the Lord's Prayer? We're about to get to that. Okay. So pray then like this. This is where if you look in Matthew 6 or in Luke 11, the gospel accounts of Jesus's ministry or his teaching on prayer, he keeps the CSB and the ESV will quote that as pray then like this. Whenever you pray, say, nor do these things, okay? So in today's episode, I'm going to use Luke 11, and I'll go back to Matthew 6, right? They're one and the same, but I want to bring this up, okay? So starting at verse 1, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when Jesus was finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. He said to them, whenever you pray, say, Father, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone in debt to us. And do not bring us to temptation. So, if you have heard other teachings on the Lord's Prayer, you read books on it, you know, they're going to walk line by line or sentence by sentence or phrase by phrase. I think like if you have done this before and have sat through this teaching, you're waiting for me to get the Father. Might I submit to you that there are so many steps to get to before we get to addressing God as Father, okay? That's not an assumption. And I'm not going to sit on this channel with the little interaction that I do have with the audience and say, oh, yeah, just go to God and just call him Father. Checkmate, right? Good to go. That's not a good to go. I can't assume that. So here's step number one. We have to believe and trust in God. You do not know how paramount, how critical that is. And we just assume that because we like, and I'm broadcasting this mostly for Americans. And we just like, oh yeah, we went to church all our lives. We believe in God. Good. Right. Here's the thing that I'm consistent on every single day. Every time I come to this mic and stream the stream, I am consistent on one thing. Is that for you to believe and trust in God, God has to do a work in you first. It is a supernatural work. Well, all that means is that it's from above us. It's from outside of us. It's God. God has to do this. And case in point, let me point to the Ezekiel passage, right? Ezekiel 11 and 19 through 20. God says, I will give them one heart. And a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove their heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, like a soft, tender heart, that they may walk. Look, first he gives us a new heart, right? He takes out our cold stone hearts and gives us a new heart that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey him. The order is very important. It doesn't say we have to obey God, now he gives us a new heart. No, he gives us a new heart, now we get to obey him. And on that point, they shall be my people and I will be their God. So all of the Sunday school, seminary, church services, being a preacher's kid, read all the theology books, consistent on your daily Bible readings, none of that will get you to love and worship God. God will have to change your heart and change your mind first. Now, if you don't believe in trusting God and you still want to pray to God, yeah, go for it, okay? In the last episode, I explicitly used in the Bible Jesus' own words where he says unbelievers' words are towards God are meaningless. They're ungodly. They don't hold up to anything. You have to believe and trust in God. Now, that might be controversial and that might sting a little bit, but it's absolutely true, because one of the things I want to see less of is this trope of an unbeliever, person who doesn't love God, doesn't trust God, prays to God, Lord, get me out of this pickle, help, oh yeah. And then that character gets out of the pickle and just goes about their merry way, right? I'm not saying God can't work that way, but the person doesn't end up believing and trusting him, something's off, right? So my encouragement to you is go for it, but you're going to have to ask for something first, okay? And you're like, oh, what do I ask for? So look at Luke 11, continue on in verse 9. So I say to you, this is Jesus saying to his disciples, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will give you a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Look at that last sentence. Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. First, you're going to have to go to God and ask for God. I have very, very few guarantees in this life. The one guarantee I have is that I don't care if you believe or don't believe, if you go to God, you ask for God, you will absolutely get God. It says right there. Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him, right? So what is the point in all that? The point is God is the ultimate good. You go to God, you ask for God, you will get God. You have to have God first before you can pray to him. How do you pray to God when you don't have God? Think about for a second. You don't believe in God. You don't trust in God. You don't have him. Why pray to him? Okay? You know, I'm going to look at my points. Second, this is third, but I'm going to have to correct that. Second, note that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Son of God, who is God, he prayed. Okay? I mentioned this in other episodes talking about prayer and all of that, but here's I would probably not say a definite list, but it's pretty definite. Matthew 14, immediately Jesus made the disciples get in the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After dismissing the crowds, guess what he did? He went up to the mountain, on the mountain by himself to pray. Well into the night, he was there alone. Who was he praying to? God the Father, okay? God the Son was praying to God the Father. God the Son, who is God, still prays to God the Father. Now, if you have been following, if you listened to last week's Genesis, last week's 1 Timothy episode, what am I about to say? It's because God the Son, Jesus Christ, had a perfect, loving relationship with his Father when he came to earth, when he was a little bitty baby and lived on this earth for 30 some odd years. Don't you think if you had known somebody perfectly in loving relationship for all of eternity and had to break away for that for just a moment for 30 years, wouldn't you miss that person? It's no less with the Son of God. He missed his dad. He missed his father. And he took every opportunity to pray. Matthew 19. Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, leave the little children alone and don't try to keep them from coming to me, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. After he placed his hands on them, he went on from there. So he was praying to God the Father for these little children that came running up to him. Matthew 26. And then Jesus came with him to a place called Gethsemane. And he told the disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. Okay, taking along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. He said to them, I'm deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake with me. Going a little farther, he fell face down and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. He asked Peter, so you couldn't stay awake for me for 1 hour? Stay awake and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Luke 6, during those days, he went out to the mountain to pray and spent all night in prayer to God. Luke 9, after 8 days after this conversation, he took Peter, John, and James and up to the mountain and pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. John 17, you're when Jesus went to the Father. This is like, thank God for Apostle John to write out this prayer. And part of this is called the Christ prayer for his disciples. It's the Lord's prayer for his disciples. That's you and me. That's us, right? I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, because they are yours. Everything I have is yours, and everything you have is mine. I am glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, but they, us disciples, they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as the Father and the Son are one. While I was with them, I was protecting them by your name that you have given me. I guarded them. Not one of them is lost except for the son of destruction, so that the scripture may be fulfilled. That's Judas Iscariot. Now I'm coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy completed in them. I have given them your word. The world hated them because they're not of this world, just as I am not of this world. I am not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. You sent me into the world. I have also sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them so that they may be sanctified by the truth. Okay? You see how many times while Jesus was here, maybe 30 years, and in a 3-year time where we get most of the content of all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how many times that Jesus went away to pray, got to go pray right before he's about to die, right before he's facing crucifixion, he's got to go pray. This is the Son of God, who is God, who is commanding his disciples to pray, and he sets the example. We pray because God told us to pray. Look at Matthew 6, 5 through 9. Here's the little headers. This is what Jesus said. Whenever you pray, verse 6, but when you pray, 7, when you pray, 8, or excuse me, verse 9, therefore, you should pray like this. It is not only a commandment, but it's also an assumption, okay? Matthew 9, starting in verse 35, Jesus continued going around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dejected like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Matthew 18, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault because you are him alone. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he won't listen, take one or two others with you so that the testimony of two or three witnesses, every fact may be established. If he doesn't pay attention to them, tell the church. If he doesn't pay attention even to the church, let him be like a Gentile, just like an unbeliever, and a tax collector to you. What do you do with unbelievers? You share the gospel with them, okay? That's all that means. You share the gospel with them. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth, you will have bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, you will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about any matter that you pray for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. In matters of church discipline, in matters of confronting, in matters of reaching out to somebody who's in sin, who's not repentant, not confessing, doesn't give a rip, even in the midst of that, you are to pray, right? Matthew 26, when he was in the garden, stay awake and pray, as he told Peter. Mark 11, therefore I tell you, everything you pray and ask for, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven will also forgive your wrongdoing. Mark 13, when you see this is big and heavy passage, but roll with me. When you see the abomination of desolation standing where it should not be, let the reader understand, then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. A man on the housetop must not come down or go in to get anything out of his house, and a man in the field must not go back to get his coat. Woe to the pregnant woman and a nursing mother in those days. Pray it won't happen in the winter. Okay, so for prophecies that are dictated by the Lord Jesus Christ, he's even saying praying doesn't happen. For those who are unsaved, pray that God will send harvesters to work the harvest, right? To bring in those whom he has saved, okay? Luke 6, but I say to you, listen, love your enemies, do what is good to those who hate you, bless them who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you, okay? Luke 18. Luke 18 is an amazing, amazing parable. This is the parable of the persistent widow, okay? Now, he told a parable on the need for them to all pray always and not give up in prayer, okay? There is a judge in a certain town who didn't fear God and respect people. And the widow in that town kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he was unwilling, but later he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or respect people, yet because this widow kept pestering me, I will give her justice so she doesn't wear me out by her persistent coming. You know what that persistent coming? That's prosecution. Persecution. That's persecution, right? But persecution for justice. Then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not God grant justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay in helping them? I tell you that he will swiftly grant them justice. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I give you all of the examples. All the examples I can possibly find, just to one thing. If you have God, you get to pray to God. You have God, you get to pray to God. Here is our command. Pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in everything. For this is God's will in you, in Christ Jesus. I don't care how you get it done. If you need to set 10 reminders on your phone, do it. If you need to set 100 alarms, do it. Install 1,000 apps, go for it. Pray once, pray several times throughout the day, just do it. And here's the thing, like, okay, I'm going to try to get into rhythm and, you know, be in my quiet place and pray and, you know, try to pray once every day and whatever. And then you stop praying for a while. You know how you fix all that? You just get back on the horse. Don't grieve over not praying. Don't overthink it. Just go back to praying. How simple is that? Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Charles Spurgeon is quoted to say, I'd rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. My point is that we might get a little disheartened, a little discouraged because we pray and we pray often and we pray every day. We pray twice a day, three times a day for something, right? We pray earnestly and it doesn't happen, so we stop praying. Well, some of us act like prayer doesn't work. It's like, oh, it's just like I'm just saying a bunch of words. Is there really a God? Is God actually listening to me? I don't know. I'm going to give this a try. Well, first of all, James in James 1, he goes, now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the doubter is like the surging sea driven and tossed by the wind. Now, there's a difference between having doubt and being a doubter. He's saying, don't ask in faith without being a doubter. If you have doubt, just go to God. Ask God. But if you're like, you know what? I'm going to pray, but this is not going to come about. Look what he says. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded and unstable in all his ways. It's literally called, like, when you pray to God and don't believe he's going to answer, it's called double-mindedness. Don't pray if you don't think God will answer. You pray because you know God will answer, okay? I'm going to give you a real-life story. Here's a real-life example of a little old lady who prayed for decades. She prayed 50 years, half a century of praying, one prayer, okay? She lived to be about 88 years old. She loved the Lord her God, was blessed with a husband, three boys, and they ended up adopting a little girl. This little old lady prayed every day and every night that God would save her family, okay? Now, her husband, around 40, midlife crisis, lost his good sense and ran away with some other woman. So this little old lady, guess what she did? She promptly got in her little station wagon and drove off to Phoenix, picked his sorry butt up, and brought him home. And a few months later, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer and passed away after that diagnosis pretty quickly, okay? Man, this is a tragic tale. It continues. But this little old lady continued to pray. And then their youngest son, they had three sons. Their youngest son was the worst kind of human being. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm about to tell you. Their youngest son was introduced to porn at what age? I don't know. But porn, pornography, sexual immorality absolutely wrecked his life. So much so, he sexually abused his own children. He got caught and then got sent to prison for about 400 years before he ended up dying in prison. But the little old lady continued to pray. And then his son, that would be her grandson, while thank God he did not hurt any children, did the lion's share of his own sexual immorality. And you might be thinking, a lion's share? How can you top adultery and even child molestation? Her grandson was introduced by his dad to porn at a young age of 5. And that sin just gripped his heart for the rest of his life. His addiction became so crippling that he went to go work in the pornography industry. Just as the internet was coming online, websites, servers, photos, videos, recruiting, whatever it took in order to feed their grandson's wicked heart. Guess what? Guess what happened? The little old lady stopped praying? No, she continued praying. So how does the Almighty God, listening to the persistent widow's prayers every day, who prayed for years up until a half a century. That is not an exaggeration. So after this little old lady yanked her husband back from Phoenix, her husband came to know Christ and repented of all his sins. And shortly thereafter, around 42 years old, he died of cancer and went to be with the Lord. Now, her son, who was rotting away in prison, was not saved by Christ until he was 56, 20 some odd years after being thrown in prison. God gripped his heart so hard that he gave up what little he had in order to be with God. That's even, he sacrificed his own supposed future freedom for whatever that looked like. Let me give you an example. When he finally was up for parole, their son declined. When the board asked him why, he simply stated, "Sirs, ma'am, there are way too many in this place, in this prison, who are in darkness. I have the light of God in me. If I leave, who will show them the light of Christ? Therefore, I must stay. I have to stay." He continued to do ministry for a few more years until he went to be with the Lord. Now, her grandson foolishly thought he was saved from hell and damnation and all of that just because he had said some sinner's prayer when he was 8 years old. Now, never mind the fact that he was dealing so much porn and living the most depraved sexual immoral life with no repentance. But then, right before his second birthday, God grabbed a hold of this man's heart. This man laid everything down and repented before God. Did the young man's life suddenly become awesome and easy, like his father's before him? His father didn't get magically released from prison. His granddad died from cancer. Nope. No, it didn't become easier. But this man knew he belonged to God and God belonged to him forever. Okay? Now, this little old lady, by God's sweet grace, and only by his grace, got to see each of her prayers answered before she went on to be with the Lord. Now, there's a lot of details in this story. If this story sounds a little bit personal, because it is. Because see, that little old lady was my grandmother. Her name is Frances, and her husband, yeah, that sorry son of a gun who left to be with another woman in Phoenix, that guy's name is Jack. And her youngest story in her youngest son that we talked about, who ended up dying while doing ministry in prison, his name was Joseph. Okay, and then Joseph had a son. Joseph's oldest son, the grandson in the story, that's me. I am Joseph Jr. I was the grandson with the crippling porn addiction in the jacked up, messed up life to show for it. My grandmother contended for our lives, and each of us lout the men went to the utter extremes of sin and depravity just to find out that none of that was remotely satisfying. We have sinned way more than the average man, I guarantee you. Yet, I know for a fact that God is the mighty one who saves. God asked in Isaiah, "Is my arm too short to save anyone?" That's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. I promise you, you cannot out-sin the salvation of God. So when I say Christ commands us to go and pray, we pray because that's when we get to see the glory of God. So I have said in this series that when we start doing, this is doctrine. Doctrine is we're teaching what the word teaches, what the scripture teaches. So this is like the first time you've ever heard this. Like, I don't know how to really pray. I've never really prayed before. So go back and listen to the first sermon. Excuse me, not the sermon. Go back and listen to the first teaching. Listen to this teaching. And I have my prayer here. But I want you, with what little you know, pray. You pray to God. With what little. Don't, again, if you listen to the first episode, there's three things not to do. One of those is don't make your prayers long and fanciful. Use short terms. Use short sentences. God, I love you. Lord, thank you for saving me. Lord, thank you for letting me walk with you as a friend. Lord, thank you for being my father. It doesn't have to be perfect. Doesn't even have to be good. But that prayer, when you get to pray, you get to talk to God, okay? Because God dwells in you. God is in you, okay? So If you need some help and you're like, I still don't know how to pray, well, continue. Come back next Tuesday. Around this time, we'll be on Twitch and YouTube and Facebook. And if you're kind of like me, where like live stream is kind of like a roll of the eyes, like who can sit and listen to all that? Just check it out on podcast. Check it out on YouTube and on Twitch. This video will be around for 14 days. So it's always there. You can, and the show notes are right there. What you see is what I'm seeing here. You can follow along right there if you want to read it. Okay? So God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Gospel Meditations and 1 Timothy. I'll talk to you guys later.